We're back on The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry.
My name is Marcelle. Not the first time I've done that. My name is Marcelle, and I'm partially a shell, as you can see on my body, but I also have shoes and a face, so I like that about myself, and I like myself, and I have a lot of other great qualities as well.
In 2010, the stop-motion animation video Marcelle the Shell with Shoes On went viral across YouTube.
I like myself, and I have a lot of other great qualities as well.
Now, Marcelle is a one-inch-tall, talking shell with a single googly eye, a mouth, and shoes. We learn in the short film that Marcelle wears a lentil as a hat, sits in a beanbag chair made from a raisin, and goes skiing using skis made from toenails. It's almost impossible not to love this resourceful and very sweet-sounding shell. Voiced by comedian Jenny Slate, who you might also know from her recurring guest role on Parks and Recreation.
Oh, damn!
Or as the star of the 2014 comedy, Obvious Child. This month, a feature-length film version of Marcelle the Shell with Shoes On was released in theaters. In this mockumentary-style movie, co-writer and director Dean Fleischerkamp plays a fictional version of himself and follows Marcelle on his journey to reunite with his family after the mysterious disappearance. I spoke with Jenny about the film and started with the origin story of our hero, Marcelle the Shell, with shoes on.
It actually sort of occurred in pieces. First was the voice. Dean Fleischerkamp, the director of the film and directed the shorts and also animated the shorts. He and I were at a wedding and we were sharing a hotel room with like five other friends. We were all trying to save some money. And I just felt really squished in there. And I just started to say like,
I'm just like really squished. This is really annoying.
And like saying like being small. And he had promised a friend that he would make a video for their show that they had in Williamsburg, kind of like a comedy show. And he asked if he could interview that voice. And so he did. And it sort of came out like, oh, the character is small and he's trying to deal with that. Dean took that information and he took a bunch of found objects and made Marcel's body. He's the person who created the way Marcel looks. And then I saw Marcel. He asked me, well, who do you think you are? You know, now that you know what you look like, and tell me more about yourself. And for a reason that I really honestly can't explain, except for it's just what I did in my mind. I said,
my name is Marcelle and I'm partially a shell.
And Marcelle does come from being pretty straightforward. You know, like that's the first encounter we have with him, is he's like just describing himself.
I really maybe need you to do a reality show just with you and your friends, because I see the kind of friend group you are clearly like hanging with, where, you know, it goes from, oh, we're all sort of trying to save some money and packed in here, to, you know, to a video that, you know, that original video now 32 million views on YouTube. Did it feel like work to take Marcelle from those short little snippets of like self-identification and, you know, I'm small and here's the problem, and those initial short videos into a feature-length film? Were you able to remain playful?
Yes, I think we were so lucky to be able to remain playful, and everybody who joined us joined in but brought their own sense of style into that. Kirsten Lepore, our animation director, you can tell the way that people's feelings are actually actively moving around inside this work. And that's something I'm so proud of, because I do think that when you watch it, it signals to you that you can put your own emotional scope into it as well, that it's actually kind of an open channel. And when you have a creative instinct and you have an idea that you realize has the potential to really expand and help you grow as a person, as like a thinking, feeling, alive person, it feels more like how I would imagine how like very athletic people just need to run. You know, I again don't really feel like that, but you know, or how they say like some dogs just like really need a lot of space to run and it feels good to them. And things can be strenuous without being a strain. And that is how it felt to me, is like at times we're pushing it, especially just trying to keep the story close to the truth, even though it's the story of a one-eyed shell with two shoes and he doesn't really exist and he's not a real mammal or creature. There was work, but I don't think that it felt wrong, like when you're trying to put your foot into a tiny shoe or something like that.
At the center of the film is Marcel's separation from his family. Talk to me about how that became the core of this story.
This film took 7 years to make, and we came up with the story really at the start, that this separation between Marcel and his family, that they got ripped away from each other. We always knew that would be a part of it. People recently have said, like, is this a reaction to the quarantine and that separation? And it isn't. You know, I'm 40 now, so I started making this movie, when I was like 32 or 33. And that was a really jarring time for me, because a lot of people think that, like, you get to, let's say, 30 and your life should be in place. And it's really horrifying to realize that your 20s can be kind of a second surprise adolescence, and you can feel separated from your idea of who you thought you would be. You can feel separated from the amount of support you realize you need in order to get to where you want to be. You can feel separated from a belief system that you maybe grew up with and it doesn't work for you anymore. Like in my case, I think, like, you know, that time in my 30s, especially after working with Gillian Robespierre and Liz Holm, who made Obvious Child, I was like, oh, I have a lot of internalized misogyny. I got to split off, you know, and Dean and my relationship itself was changing. And we noticed that. And instead of wanting to turn away, we wanted to put it at the center and try to make it into a sort of rich planting ground for something new that was alive. And I also think most people, in one way or another, hope that intense separation doesn't occur for them. But for all of us, if we love anyone or anything, you know, unfortunately, endings are a part of life. Life has the life cycle doesn't include an ending. And it's so scary, but it's also so scary because there's so much that is precious. And so we also wanted to focus on what is precious.
All right, we're going to pause for a moment, but we won't shell you short. We'll be right back for more of our conversation with the comedian and voice of Marcel the Shell, Jenny Slate.
About 600,000 people go missing every year in the U.S., prompting family members to become amateur detectives. On the trail of one missing person is journalist Tanya Mosley.
Why do you think you hesitated when we first met and telling me the full details about your mother's disappearance?
It's heartbreaking. I didn't want to break your heart.
I'm Kai Wright. Tanya Mosley joins me next time on Notes from America. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, back again on The Takeaway with Jenny Slate, comedian and co-creator of the new movie, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, based on the short YouTube film of the same name. I asked Jenny about the value of absurdist or escapist comedy in the turbulent times we're living in.
I know that the value for me, at least, is that the emotions are still all real. The joy, the surprise, the lovely feeling of goodness that one can feel in oneself when you deeply connect to something that's so different than what you are. And I think right now, at least to me, I'm sure to many other people as well, it feels like examples that we have of despair, of disrespect, and of oppression are so, they feel like classic illustrations of just people that don't care, or people that are hurtful, or things that are scary, like even taking it away from human behaviors, but just like looking at climate change, you know, like a hurricane's really, really scary. It looks scary. It is scary. And it's that when you have these really, really kind of well-defined hardcore examples of things that can hurt, it can make you feel like the things that, you know, in your everyday that you think can help, just that they must have failed, that they must have not won some sort of a battle that you didn't even know you were supposed to be fighting just by being alive. And taking in art, whatever it is, you go to the museum, you see the paintings, you go to the Museum of Natural History even, like, and just see like animals, or you watch a movie like ours and you're reminded that a living experience is is filled with everything, and it's filled with so many surprises of goodness, and that they're here and they want to be accessed, and you want to access them. And, you know, we have to keep continuing to be alive and seeking out pleasure, even though it can feel hard or even inappropriate. So I'm happy to offer this now because it's genuinely funny, you know, and we made it for people of all ages, and I'm proud of it. And sometimes it's also really hard to feel proud these days if you feel like you can't really figure out how to make your point of view like be in a useful discussion.
Especially if you're just a teeny tiny shell with
on.
But yeah. I think a lot of us can feel like that, right?
Yeah.
I have the extraordinary privilege of a microphone. You know, you have the extraordinary privilege of having a public voice. But for so many, I think it can feel as though you're a tiny shell with shoes on trying to make yourself heard.
Yeah, or it can't, you know, in that, like, I think like being a shell with shoes on, not being heard in Marcel's environment actually seems a lot more chill than what we have.
Oh, that's true.
Which is like feeling like really, really small and then going on to social media and being like, I hate this, or like that person's bad. And it's like, yeah, for the most part, like I agree with a lot. Like I do dislike a lot of things, and I do feel like, oh no, I really, really don't like the decisions that are being made here and there. And that arena feels like kind of not what we want it to be. Like, why isn't it working? Why isn't it changing? I think that sometimes can make me feel less powerful. And actually, sometimes I think what we forget, and that what I at least need to remember, is like, it's also important to be a tiny shell with two shoes and one eye. You know what I mean? To just be in your house and be like, oh, there's the refrigerator. I was nice to myself and I got the good yogurt. That's not like healthy yogurt. It's kind of like a pudding.
I'm now, whenever I raid my refrigerator at night, I am definitely going to speak to myself in my Marcel voice in my head about why this is a really good self-care moment. I do want to ask you about your 2014 film, Obvious Child. It's comedy. Very funny, just so that folks know. And at the same time, also very honestly depicts your character's abortion.
What? You're saying that a guy doesn't want a drunk pregnant girl in a box?
If you're a serial killer.
Maybe you want to tell him.
No, why? Why? You don't owe him anything. You don't even know this guy.
Maybe he just deserves to know that, like, this happened, that I'm not a psycho and I'm going to get an abortion.
And so in this post-Roe v. Wade Dobbs decision world, I'm just wondering, as you look back on your own work and you think about Obvious Child, how you see that potentially fitting into this conversation that so many are having publicly at this moment?
Well, I think at the time, you know, we just wanted to show an abortion that was legal, that was safe, that took place at Planned Parenthood, and that was an experience that happened to a person who was growing and changing and allowed to do that before and after the procedure, and that there's a way for this to be a healthcare experience that is important, but not necessarily character defining. You know, for the character in that film, Donna, the most important thing for her was that she learned how to figure out what she wanted to, how she wanted to create her stand-up, how she wanted to do her creative work. I think that so many people can relate to that, and that she could use the truth of her life in that work, and that, like, having an abortion, while it is a serious decision that every person who has a body capable of, you know, becoming pregnant should be able to make for themselves, that, like, yeah, it's part of it, but she doesn't have to, like, make it be more or less important than what it was to her, and that it's specific to everyone. What is shocking now, and what is really sad, is that that experience that Donna was able to have, also as a person who, you know, didn't make a lot of money, is one that now has become aspirational. A safe, legal abortion should not be something that we have to hope for. It should be a basic human right, because it is. And so I'm glad that that movie is there now for all of the especially the younger people who are growing up thinking that this might never have been normal. And while we've always been fighting for reproductive justice, and it was never good enough, it's certainly not now, but we can get there and the people who care about reproductive justice won't stop fighting for it, and I'm one of them.
Jenny Slate, star and co-writer of Marcel, the Shell with Shoes On. Jenny, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so, again, so honored to be on the show.